Well, definitely we bring the greatest show on sports radio to you right here on the nation's first for news talk in sports. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Yeah, we're fired up for yet another amazing package of Game On with Femi and the gang. And surely the greatest showman, who Jackman, Kayla Settle. It's a packed team of great, great talents. And, well, right here, we also have something similar. Ah, what a feat. Well, I definitely know it hasn't been the very best in the last 24, 48 hours across the country. We're here to ensure that you feel some ease and you feel some happiness. Perhaps, hopefully, we don't talk about stories that won't bring you happiness. But yeah, I hope you are doing very well wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice. I hope you are safe. I hope you are not involving yourself in any chaos or whatsoever. I hope you're staying off trouble. I do hope that you are protected and you're safe. Please do well to, like you're saying, local palace, who your side, all right? Welcome aboard. Anthony the Voice is back on your radio, on your stereo. It's all about the greatest conversations. As far as sports is concerned, I'm here not alone with the team as we get ready to go across different parts of Europe. Most importantly, bring you some very good information you need to know you can use back home in Lagos, Nigeria. Wow, so much on our table. We've got to move very fast, shall we? All right, let's go. Well, there's so much we've got this evening to share with you from the home front. The Under 20 are set. Yes, it's finally here. Date with destiny. The Under 20 African Cup of Nations comes alive tomorrow, starts tomorrow. And our very own Under 20 will be participating at that event. Where do we stand? With barely hours to go before our very first game. It's being a long walk to perhaps glory, we hope, for this set of boys who have been pulled together, led by the man, Ladam Boso. We'll talk about the Super Falcons at the moment involved in the Revelation Cup. Well, we have some revelation from that tournament, and I tell you what, it's not particularly the very best. What's happening? Six consecutive defeats for the Super Falcons ahead of the World Cup. Should Nigerians be worried? Should we be worried that our ladies seem to have lost the fire? Dip. All right, we'll talk about that. And of course, big news coming out from Manchester United. Qatari beat expected to hit Carrington, or you'd say Manchester, later today. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about one man, Marcus Rashford, who seemed to be doing something extraordinary for the way things have gone so far this season. Fans are talking. Could he be in the running for the next Ballon d'Or? What does he need to do? Are people too fast? Are they too quick? Are they pushing the man faster than he's running? I don't know, but it's football. It's the fans. And we'll be asking that question on the broadcast. What does Marcus Rashford need to do to lay his hand on that much coveted prize? All of that we'll talk about on the broadcast, and we'll also bring you some of the previews you need as we look forward to a weekend of great football yet again. Hadovai joins me on the broadcast. He's always here ensuring that everything is on lock and keys. Hadovai, great evening to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, Tony, it's good to be here. Good evening, Lagos. Like you said, packed show. A lot to discuss. The Super Falcons are not doing us really well, but we have something to cheer about with the Under 20s, and a lot to discuss. It's we have what less than 2 hours, and I can't wait to get started.
All right, Alex, the man, the macaw, not my friend recently, actually my enemy, but for the sake of this show, we will do a job. So, Alex, how are you doing? You have 10 seconds to speak.
I don't care about your friendship. I don't care
10
about anything.
Seconds to speak,
you
Alex.
You cannot give me 10 seconds
Alex,
to speak
10
on
seconds
a Friday
to
show.
Speak, Alex.
It's not possible.
Alex, you this is...
The
I run this
you,
show,
the problem
Alex.
With you, Tony, is... The problem is... Now you think you're
Alex,
powerful.
Alex, I run the show.
Now you think you're powerful, Tony.
Alex, are you done?
See, that's the problem. Well, first off, I want to say hi to the people of Lagos. You know, lots going on in the country as we speak. You know, it doesn't feel good, but it's good to be here. It's good to, you know, walk into the studio and talk sports and football. You know, I was here in the morning for Sports Drive, and you know, back again for Game On in the evening.
Yeah, been a busy day for you.
Yeah,
right?
Been a busy day. It's good, you know, to do this, and you know, I have to say this: it's a pleasure doing this side by side with you, Tony. You know,
I don't
let's forget about
pleasure.
What happened yesterday and just focus on a lot of, you know, good things going forward. And it's also good to have Adova, you know, by my right side. And let's talk some football.
Absolutely. Well, just for the records, you can be a part of the conversation, all right, via our WhatsApp portal. Would also help open the phone lines so you can also have your say at different points of the broadcast. 0809-597-5805. 0809-597-5805. That's our WhatsApp line. And for the phone line, 0700-993-993-993. Very quickly, well, let's head straight to Egypt and talk about the Flying Eagles. They are leading our conversation on the broadcast, and as expected, because there is a big responsibility that lies ahead for these young stars. Are they flying? Will they fly in Egypt, the land of Pharaoh? We've got one man joining us all the way from Egypt, Sharif Abdallah, great friend and brother who found a way to do this with me. Sharif, how are you doing? All right. Okay, let's see if we can get that up. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, brilliant. Very clear. Absolutely.
All right. It's good to have you. You know, it's good to join you on your show, as always. And, of course, like I promised you, I'll be fully on ground. You know, I'm here for you guys, and certainly I'll get you covered.
That's it. The voice of Sharif. Thank you so very much. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We've got the media officer for the Flying Eagles who are currently out there in Egypt. He's with the team. Sharif, first things first, we have, I think, about, 9 minutes before our first time. So we'll see how much we can cover. Before we get to the team and some of the names to look forward to, first, how do you feel, you and the boys? How is the feeling like? And when I mean feeling, I'm very particular about how the energy in camp is like for the boys. We confirm that you guys are in Egypt now. How is the feeling like, especially giving all of the drama going back home in Nigeria? I know the boys are aware of all of the things that have been happening, but generally, this is a big assignment. How is the feeling in the camp of the Flying Eagles? Nigerians wants to know.
Well, thank you very much once again, my good friend. But at the moment, I can authoritatively tell you that, you know, the feelings right here in the Flying Eagles camp is, let me just use the word, the confidence is absolutely sky high. Considering the fact that, you know, the Flying Eagles just one team to beat, you know. Number one is, you know, the Flying Eagles were the champions of the WAFU B regional tournament, which actually led the team to this tournament. And to many, they believe the Flying Eagles are in a competition where many actually believe is their birthright. You know, considering the fact that Nigeria is the most successful African nation as far as the Africa Cup of Nations under 20 is concerned. So they know that this is a huge responsibility on them, because Nigeria has never been in this competition without at least qualifying for the World Cup. That's the under 20 World Cup. So, you know, this is a very huge responsibility that they know, you know, Nigerians have given them, and they just have no any other option rather than to deliver. So this is what, you know, we've been talking about. This is what I personally have been talking about with some of the players, and they know this very well. So secondly, you talked about, you know, the mood. I mean, it can't get any better than what we have in the camp at the moment, because, you know, trust me, after the few days camping in Morocco, that's in Casablanca, a major city in Morocco, I mean, the team and of course, particularly the players who are the main actors have acclimatized with, you know, and some of them, you know, that have not been to North Africa have a feel of what North Africa is, because, you know, there are a lot of similarities between Morocco and Egypt. So the whole concept of, you know, camping for a few days in Morocco is for the players to just have a feel, you know, this is how it's going to be like, particularly the, you know, weather condition. You know, the weather condition here can be likened to Europe, because it's absolutely very cold here, if you ask me, just like what we've witnessed in Morocco. So, I mean, these guys are battle ready. These guys know what it at stake. You know, a few days before our departure from Morocco, the NFL president in person of Alhaji Ibrahim Musa Gusau was with us. And, you know, he spoke with the players. He had a chat with them that, guys, you just have to deliver the World Cup ticket. That's the ultimate target. That's the ultimate target.
Primary.
You have to deliver the World Cup ticket. So, I mean, the target set by Nigerian Football Federation, the target set by NFF president is for the Flying Eagles to qualify for the FIFA Under 20 World Cup slated for Indonesia. And, you know, there are some certain differences between this competition and the previous competition that took part in other African nations. Number one is, this is the first expanded Under 20 Africa Cup of Nations. This is the first time 12 nations will be taking part. So you can see, this is the first time that there will be a quarterfinal in the AFCON Under 20. This is the first time VAR, that's a video assistant referee, will be used. And certainly that commenced from the quarterfinal stage of the competition. So trust me, these guys know what is at stake. What is at stake for them is just to make sure they qualify for the World Cup, that's in Indonesia. The World Cup ticket, the World Cup berth, and the 20 World Cup, I mean, is at stake. So they know this. So I believe with the quality we have in this team, with the kind of preparations we had in Nigeria and in Morocco, 19 matches on beaten streak. And out of those 19 matches, the Flying Eagles have played a whole lot of teams that can give us that kind of competition we need, that gave us, rather, because we played with so many teams in Nigeria and also in Egypt. So they actually gave us that kind of competition we need in this tournament. So we played the likes of NPFL side, Nasarawa United, Wiki Tourist, and Lobi Stars as well. And of course, the international friendly, that's a pre-AFCON international friendly against the Junior Chipolo Polo of Zambia in Abuja, and also the another one in Casablanca against the Congo Brazzaville Under 20, which all the matches the Flying Eagles played, I mean, we came on top, beating our opponents in Abuja, that's Zambia, by 4-2, and you know, rallying back from behind to also beat Dima Congo Brazzaville by 2-1. So, I mean, if, as you can see, the results in 19 matches on beating streak, and of course, 96 goals scored in all the AFCON preparatory games is no mean thing.
Dear
but
me.
Trust me, I mean, the big test is against Senegal, slated for Sunday. So they know that. I mean, if you are able to get this kind of preparations 4 months before the commencement of the tournament, you know, they're bidding the likes of you know, opponents like Zambia, like Congo Brazzaville, that they qualified, not Democratic Republic of Congo. The likes of Lobi Stars and Wiki Tories, NPFL side, and of course, a lot of teams that give us that kind of, you know, competition we needed for this tournament. So it's no mean feat. So, but trust me, the mother of all tests is certainly against Senegal. You know, Senegal has sent this kind of, you know, shocking waves in African football, because
absolutely they are on the rise.
Football.
Yeah,
I mean, they are all around. I mean, so the let me just say that they're more like the shining light of African football, which we intend to dim that light, hopefully by Sunday. I mean, they've won the AFCON, that's the beach soccer, right?
Yeah.
They won the CHAN tournament.
Yeah.
They won the AFCON proper last year in Cameroon. So they're everywhere. So, I mean, these guys know the challenge. But trust me, what we have in the Flying Eagles camp is all... I describe as firepower. From the defense to the midfielder to the attack. These are players that I have absolute confidence in, and I believe, I'm highly optimistic that this team will deliver. But like I earlier stated, against Senegal, that is the mother of all tests. The 19 matches we played was all to get ready for this test against Senegal.
The voice of Sharif Abdallah, the media officer of the Under 20 Flying Eagles, right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info, the nation's first for news, talk and sports. Would go for a very short timeout, maybe not so short, about 7+ minutes. And when we come back, would hear from Sharif, who are the players, who are the boys? And there'll be questions about, do we have a very strong MPFL representation at the level of the Flying Eagles? He would answer that question and tell us, what is the X factor for this team? They are in arguably the toughest group of the tournament, where the host is very much present. Egypt, I don't know, it's a tough task for them. When we come back, we would hear from Sharif. So stick around, people. The action never stops, right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Well, definitely, we're hoping that the power of Niger will continue to stride forward our teams across board. Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Anthony, the voice, in the company of Alex, the Mandem, and Honavai. We've also got Sharif Abdallah with us on the broadcast all the way from Egypt, as we have perhaps one conversation before the action on Sunday. The Flying Eagles first game up against the Senegalese, and they've got some other really, really big games to play after that. There's Egypt and, of course, Mozambique, the other team in Group A. Sharif, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right.
And I can beautiful, hear you loud and clear.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for hanging in there with us. So just to quickly wrap this up, and I was talking about, can you mention some of the names that we have got on that list? And in terms of MPFL representation, home-based, you'd say, and foreign-based, what is the blend like? And finally, what is the X factor of this Flying Eagles team? What makes them special? Do they have anything special about them? I saw, you know, some record about them scoring over 80 goals or something in all of the 19 friendly games they had played and all of that. But, I mean, you have watched these boys matching, match out. You know perhaps their weaknesses and the efforts the team, the coaching team is making to ensure that, hey, once they set out against a very quality Senegalese team whose age grade football is on the rise, we will not be found wanting.
Well, thank you very much once again. You've made mention of NPFL representation, and I think I can you know, make it loud and clear here that there are a lot of players from Nigeria Professional Football League that have made the 21-man list of the Flying Eagles in this tournament. I can start mentioning a whole lot of them. Benjamin Franklin, a centre-back, plays for Nasarawa United. Onuchu Ogbelu, also, okay, not a centre-back, but can be drafted to play as a centre-back, by the way, but his natural position is a defensive midfielder. Plays for Nasarawa United. And also, Ayuba Abubakar Francis plays for Nasarawa United in the NPFL. So at least you can see that from what I've made mention of, three representation from one single club, Nasarawa United. Not leaving out the likes of Emmanuel Uchebu, plays for Plateau United. Olamilekan Adams plays for Remo Stars.
That's a forward. Goal poacher.
Olamilekan Adams plays for Nasarawa United. So I mean, there are a whole lot of them, trust me, in the Flying Eagle squad that made this list for the forthcoming AFCON Under-20. You've also talked about foreign base. I think we have a handful of foreign base players right here. Shortly after our arrival yesterday evening, one of the players that wasn't part of the preparations, but considering the fact that he played a pivotal role in the Flying Eagles qualification to this tournament, I'm referring to Ahmed Abdullahi. He is currently playing for KAA Gent in the Belgian Jupiler League.
Wow.
And he has teamed up with the rest of the team yesterday. So, I mean, this is more like a breaking news, this is the first time I'm announcing this.
Brilliant.
On any of the,
Life on 99.3. Many thanks, Sharif. Wonderful.
So Ahmed Abdullahi plays for Belgian Jupiler side. That's a KA agent. We also have Ibrahim Mohamed, who plays his trade with Cartagena in the Spanish second division. And also, Abel Oguchi is a centre-back, plays his trade in Trelsborg in the Swedish league. So a blend and a mixture of, you know, the home base stars and, of course, the foreign base we have has really resulted in the firepower of the Flying Eagles in all the preparatory games we've played. For the past couple of months, you know, we had two phases of camping exercise. For the first one started in November last year. We went on a break, that's at the Christmas and New Year break, and we reopened the camp immediately after New Year, I think less than a week after the New Year break. So a blend of this players I've made mention of is certainly what we're enjoying at the moment. Trust me, what I enjoy, one of the things I enjoy at the moment is watching the Flying Eagles, because I believe if everything goes according to plan, we have some future stars for the Super Eagles in this team.
Interesting.
Trust me. I mean what I'm saying, because I've seen a whole lot of quality. This is my own personal opinion, by the way. I don't think I have seen a team with such kind of quality that I believe can make it to the Super Eagles of Nigeria since 2005.
This is a big, during the days big of talk.
John Obi Mikel,
Sharif, this is big.
And of course, Tayo.
This is a big statement.
I mean it. Honestly, I mean what I'm saying, because I have seen a whole lot of quality. This is not just me. Jose Pedro, the man in charge of the Super Eagles, has been with this team and he has seen a whole lot of quality. According to him, there are 7 players that he believes can work straight into the Super Eagles team, because he has been with the team for quite some time. He made mention of 7. So from my own end, I believe go by this player's performances statistically, I think I have at least 5 players that I believe have the future to play for the Super Eagles. So but I think what would they just have to do the right thing, yeah, the first thing first.
Yeah, first things first. Primary.
Number one is, yeah, making sure they qualify for the FIFA Under 20 World Cup. Number two is then maintaining, what actually led to their qualification. We've seen this so many. I've been mentioning a whole lot. Daniel Dagger, another defensive midfielder, plays for Dakada FC in the Nigeria top flight. That's NPFL. Hmm. So you see, we have a whole lot of players from the NPFL side and a mixture. So it's more like it's what is giving us the result that we intend to get. We've gotten the result in all the preparatory games we've played. So I believe I'm optimistic that can still get the result come Sunday against the Junior Taranga Lions of Senegal. You've also asked me a question regarding, who are the stars to watch? I think there are a whole lot of stars to watch in this team. I've made mention of some of the names, but I believe the likes of Daniel Dagger, a defensive midfielder who has a knack for goals, I believe is one star to watch out. Nigerians should watch out for this young lad. Hmm. He is a defensive midfielder, but can push forward and, at some point get the goals for the team. He emerged as the most valuable player in the WAFU B regional tournament. So I believe he's one star to watch. Hmm. But Lamilekan Adams has always been a thorn in the flesh for many defense. He plays for Remo Stars. I think he bagged a goal against a Moroccan side in the CAF Confederation Cup, and he has also scored twice in the two biggest test games we've had against this tournament bound teams. That's the Junior Chipolopolo of Zambia and Congo Brazzaville under 20. He came in as a substitute and scored two goals against these two aforementioned sites that I've spoken about. So I believe he's also one player to watch out for. We also have Halil Ruseki, who plays for an academy. But trust me, a lot of pundits have likened him to Super Eagles captain Ahmed Musa during his heydays. He was the guy that got the first goal for the Flying Eagles against Zambia. I believe he's one player that is a star in the making. Also, Ibrahim Muhammad shouldn't be left out. He scored three goals for the Flying Eagles in the WAFU B regional tournament. He emerged as the second highest goal scorer, currently playing for Cartagena in the Spanish second division. I just believe this is his tournament to add more value to himself. It's his time to shine. That is, I believe. And also add value to himself as well. And trust me, I believe he's one player that is if properly nurtured, will in no distant time play for the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
Right.
So, mention but few.
Yeah.
I believe those are players that I believe that Nigerians should watch out for.
Mm. In 10 seconds, Sharif, are you promising Nigerians that, hey, these boys will make them proud? I know they've had all the support they should, especially this particular team. We won't like excuses. It's not a very good time, in quote, back home. Not many things are giving Nigerians joy, Sharif. You know this. But football is something that always does, and we have to get it right.
Well, I just want to believe this is the best time for the Flying Eagles to put a smile on Nigerians. All right. That's all I can say.
All right. Big talk. Thank you very much, Ali Sharif Abdallah, the media officer of the Under 20 Flying Eagles out there in Egypt. We wish the team all the best. Please do send our love to them. And we hope that they can fly truly like the Eagles they are. Hopefully we'll speak much later. Probably when they're done with the group stage, we're very hopeful that they will qualify, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Certainly, we're sure. We believe we have all what it takes to make it to the next stage. And, you know, but I just want to believe it's one step at a time. I mean, when we get to that bridge, we cross it. First and foremost, let's focus on how to
get Senegal
better and how to eliminate. Yeah, exactly. The maximum 3 points against Senegal is what will put us in, you know, in shape for us to make it to the next stage.
All right, thank you very much, Sharif Abdallah. Thank you. God bless you for always listening every time I call. My very best wishes to you and the team. All right.
Thank you very much. And let me also, you know, appreciate you on all the time, you know.
Thank you.
That's why
thank you, Sharif.
I, on a personal note, commit myself to whenever you need an information, because I believe, you know, this kind of promotion truly helped the team
absolutely
to get the best result.
Absolutely.
Because Nigerians over there, Nigerians home, back home, need to know the happenings and the updates within the Flying Eagles camp.
All right, thank you very much. God bless you. All right.
Yeah, God bless you too. Thank you.
No matter the stage, there's still room for greatness.
Yo, what up? It's your boy YC, Omar Laji, number one, New School Jagaban, Tiny Entertainment Mafia, and I'm chilling with Femi and the gang, and you're tuned to Nigeria Info. Do not touch that dial.
Well, definitely. Thank you once again to Sharif. In case you're just tuning in, 99.3 Nigeria Info, we just had a conversation with the media officer of the under 20 team who are out there in Egypt for the African Cup of Nations. It's big, it's primary that a lot of us understand what is going on with the team. I understand it's not the Super Eagles, and there's always that, you know, tendency to not be very concerned with how the team is doing. But it's important we know and know some of the players also who are involved, as we believe that they've got a long way to go. And it starts from a tournament like this, going to prove to Africa they've got all it takes to play at the very top of international and club football. We just needed to give some time for that session. Lexi, you heard the man. He said, I mean, a lot, but I don't know. Before we go for this timeout, are you optimistic?
Yeah, I mean, we have to be. I am, you know, rightly speaking. And we've seen the group. Like he said, rightly pointed out, Senegal like the team to beat. We'll play them on Sunday. It's going to be a difficult game. But, I mean, the positives are there. The team in camp looks good. The boys are training well. You know, there's a mix, you know, with some of the good players in the NPFL and some of the foreign-based players. So, it's one to look forward to. You know, we've always known the Flying Eagles to be a group of good young talents, you know, with exciting potentials that can reach a level, like he said, saying that he can pick five players who can walk
big
right
talk
through the national setup.
Wow.
In Nigerian football and be starters. That's not, it's not something, it's not a comment you just make. It tells you that the boys in camp are fiery, are ready to play football, and they are full of quality and excitement to represent Nigeria in the tournament. So I don't really like, you know, hyping up a tournament before it starts.
Yeah, right.
I'm the guy who likes to sit back
and
allow the games
come in
and maybe after our performance against Senegal on Sunday, because I would see that game. And then we'll see what happens from then on, because we have Egypt and Mozambique also in that group. I hope it turns out to be something interesting, because, you know, Nigerian football over the past 2 years,
dear me,
it's been a drop of the ball for us. So this tournament will be something good to lift up the spirits of not just the age grade football, but something generally, even for the senior team. I mean, flying the Falcons are finding it so hard now to even put a victory in. So,
talking about the Falcons,
it's something to build on.
Talking about the Falcons, when we come back from the break, we'll quickly talk about them.
Wardrum. Come on.
And really, just so this, I mean, this broadcast is recorded, should we be scared? Should we be worried? Should Nigerians be worried that the Super Falcons might go to the World Cup and offer nothing, or probably operate very lowly, you know, beyond all what we know them for? And because I think it's important to say this now, so when it eventually happens, it's not like, hey, people are surprised. Or could it just be a different kettle of fish? People have said, oh, it's a tournament. You can find some bit of form going into a tournament and do well. But we also know you can't stumble to success many times, many times. The Super Falcons aren't giving Nigerians a lot to be happy about. 6 defeats on the spin. I don't know what you're doing, but for a national side like the Super Falcons, 6 defeats off the Women's African Cup of Nations, that's not good. That's not good at all for whatever they're planning. While we come back, we'll get to hear from Horovai and also you on the flip side of the radio before we move away to all the happenings in Europe. Stick around, people. There's more right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Thank you for staying with us as we cross over to our final dash in terms of, our second hour of the broadcast will be Living Studio at 9 for the stoppage time crew to come on board. Well, particularly the Super Falcons, we're talking about 6 defeats on the bounce coming up the Revelation Cup going down in Mexico. And they lost their opening game 1-0. That was yesterday. And, the Super Falcons continue to flounder under the watch of American coach Randy Waldrum as 9-time African champions were beaten by the odd goal by host Mexico at the Invitational Revelation Cup in Lyon. That defeat was the straight 6th loss under Waldrum, even as Falcons are heading to the FIFA Women's World Cup to be jointly hosted by Australia and New Zealand in the summer. I do also know that talking about the FIFA Women's World Cup Trophy Tour will be making a stop in Nigeria on the 26th of March. All right, and FIFA also unveiled the official match ball for that World Cup much later. But on a more personal note, Horovai, what is going on with the Super Falcons of Nigeria? Are we playing this time? Will they play?
Like, yeah, we are playing, and it's not looking good, Tony. It's one thing to, you know, lose games when you're preparing for tournaments, and it's another thing to have a bad record entirely. And we actually do have a bad record stretching back to the WAFCON, where for the first or the second time we finished without a medal.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. For us, we've turned it into a birthright.
Yeah.
11th time in
a second.
Yes. It's like a birthright for us, and we don't accept anything less. And we finish 4th. The last time that happened, Kadiri Kana was sacked.
Hmm.
But for some reason, under the past NFF administration, you know, the coach wasn't sacked, Randy Waldrum, and that hasn't changed under the new administration. And we're heading into that World Cup on a dire run of form. And it's not as if we are the USA, or we are Brazil, or we are Japan.
Mm.
We are not. Do you understand? Normally, we struggle to make it past the group stage, even where we are on good form. And now, nothing is clicking. Nothing is working. The coach has a lot of things that he's not doing right.
Mm.
I mean, on a good note, some weeks ago, the Falcons were paid some outstanding.
Yeah, from the WAFCON.
Yes, yeah. But that aside, on the pitch of play, we've not seen anything good. We have players. Oshoala is there. We have the lady at Atletico Madrid. Her name?
Rashida?
Rashida Jibadi. But these things, we have the Leicester City plumter, the Leicester City centre-back. But then, when he has all these pieces, making them play, he doesn't make it work. It hasn't worked, and we've struggled for a very long time. Sometimes he even plays players out of position. We saw plumter complain after she was played at left back, a center back. And he has, you know, he's just acting.
He's not found a proper structure to the team.
Yes, it's giving cluelessness. to be said, and like I don't have any hopes going into the World Cup, to be very honest, and I don't think anybody should, because looking at the display at the World Cup, not much has changed. The coach is still there, and we haven't, even the games where you're supposed to fine tune the team, you're losing sometimes scandalously, sometimes narrow defeats that doesn't even give confidence to the team. We haven't won a game since we defeated, was it Ghana or I think or, I'm not sure, Burundi or so in the WAFCON,
and
that's terrible. That's months without even a friendly win. We don't have that. It's terrible, and I don't know how, but something has to be done. Most likely, Wardrobe should not be there after the World Cup, regardless of what happens.
So you reckon the World Cup should be, you know, the final straw for him?
Yeah, ideally, he should not even be the one leading the side to the World Cup. But now that he's here, give him the benefit of the doubt. See what he can conjure up. I don't see him doing anything spectacular. I mean, the best we've got into is the quarterfinals, and I don't see us getting there. So it's left to be seen.
In 1999.
It's not looking good.
We lost against Morocco in the third place. Lost to Zambia. Lost to Zambia in the third place. Lost to Morocco in the semis. Lost to the US back to back. 6-1 on aggregate in two head-to-head games. The first was 4-0, 2-1. Lost to Japan 2-0, and now lost to Mexico 1-0. We have another against Colombia. That will be tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, and then one other game against Costa Rica. That will be on the 21st before we are out there at the World Cup. We have got Canada.
Yes.
We've got Australia and Republic of Ireland in that group.
Easily could be 0 points. it could be 0 points. I'm not able to
say. Anyway, 0700-983-983-983. Talk to us what you make of the Falcons and, of course, the under 20, who we've talked about extensively on the broadcast so far. For the under 20, are you hopeful after listening to the media officer Sharif Abdallah? Are you hopeful the young boys can do well? He's told us a lot we need to know. So in case you haven't followed that team before and you were opportune to listen to this interview, you probably have an idea of what we're putting out there in Egypt. Also for the Falcons, what's happening with the Falcons? Should we be worried that this group of players will probably embarrass us at the World Cup? Yes, you know, there could be arguments that obligations which should be giving to them have not been. You can argue all of that. Also, the team have been very inconsistent. No Oshoala currently at the Revelations Cup in Mexico. Rashidat Ajibade captaining that team yesterday. A couple of players also missing. It's complicated, but that's the job when you take over a national team. You have to solve very complicated issues and make it work. 0700-993-993-993-993. For the ladies, we'll be nice to hear from you. 014-657-190. Talk to us. We're definitely listening. Well, nothing did happen. We do hope that nothing is actually happening. Hello, good evening to you. Hello? Okay, call us back if you can. 0700-993-993-993. For the ladies, 014-657-190. And via WhatsApp, 08095975805 08095975805. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening, the voice.
You're welcome, Friday.
Good evening, Dovan, the man I call.
Good evening, Friday.
Yeah, see, if the man said that the man you interview concerning the fly ego, he just simply doing his job. They should not give us recoup. If he said that eight of the team, the current coach of the national team, I'll be the Super Ego coach, said that eight of the player can make it straight to the Super Ego. Is it not what he said the coach said? Apart from the striking forces in Super Ego, who are those players in the Super Ego? people are playing this.
Oh no. Network.
Hey, Aruna Lukman, this guy from Velvelari. I don't even think we have players in the Super Eagle. Hmm. But another thing is this, the voice.
Yeah.
If the player, if this team fail to do well in this tournament, will the coach of the Super Eagle resign, giving us such a hope? Because he's the coach of the Super Eagle. If he's preparing his mind to take eight of the player from the team to the Super Eagle, and they fail hopefully at the end of the day, will he resign? See, the voice.
Yeah.
We should not deceive ourselves for the Super Falcon. I've zoomed up my mind. Though.
Wow.
The only time I will support Nigeria football is after May 29. After May 29, then I will start this current government to look at AJ. She said AJ could take to Nigeria, have a handshake. It's loss is all the way. They have a phone call when we were doing well in the group stage of the last Nation Cup. After phone call,
right.
It was disaster. Nothing is working.
Right,
for me, I've just crossed my mind. If they do well, I congratulate them. If they don't do well, nothing concerns me. They find money. Now money at the final. I get money for account. I can't withdraw it.
Oh,
that's
my dear.
At the moment.
All right, thank you very much. The voice of Friday. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening, Tony.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Femi from Sule.
Femi, let's hear you.
Ah, well, it's unfortunate. Randy has not really been the type of coach I would really allow in Nigerian team. Sincerely, I don't know why, but for one reason or the other, we seem to set the standard so low for quote and unquote the expatriate. Because if you're coming to a foreign country to coach a Nigerian team that has loads and loads of coaches in Nigeria that can handle, but they come for the white, as I would put them, we expect something far more. You have not done anything special that a Nigerian coach
has done before. Absolutely.
Yes. So, and they get easily boosted even without being given the right avenue, the right opportunities. They don't. They are not really given time, and the standard is so set high for them. But coming as an expert, you are expected to have and to perform far better. But you are performing far low. But for reasons, I've said before, you cannot be a coach of a Nigerian team and you are having another job. So you are taking Nigerian job as probably as a side hustle, which may really not bring the best out of you. We know how people who handle two jobs, how they get two or three jobs, how they get worked up and all that.
Yeah.
So your concentration is not really on this particular job. You don't live here. Only flying and come around when there are competitions. You don't really know these players.
Wow.
Because the couple of our players, normally for the female team, should come from our local league. These days, we have them scattered abroad, but we should have a couple of them playing in the local league that you should really know. But unfortunately, the female league is not on TV or on any media where you can see from wherever you are. So, obviously, you won't have the opportunity to know very well how
all of the special talents.
So unfortunate.
All right, Femi, thank you very much. I really like the fact that you are knowledgeable and passionate about the women's game. Hello, good evening to you. Hello,
good evening.
Yeah, you're welcome. What's your name?
My name is Victor. I'm calling for Bariga.
Victor, let's hear you quickly.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
The media don't say he own. She don't carry sweet mouth like politician. He don't carry sweet mouth like politician. I know say he don't really have his own money. That's why he say so. He carry sweet mouth. Who give Nigeria opportunity where them go high? As Friday talk, no way for them. They no go achieve anything.
Oh no.
Thank you,
Victor.
The pessimism is not I mean, if it's the Falcons you're pessimistic about, but with the under 20, they've shown in, like you said, they won the WAFU tournament. They won the friendly game against the.
I think from his perspective, it's just, you know, when you sound tired of the entire thing, you know, and straight bullets is probably going to those who probably
don't. If the signs are good, I mean, just embrace it.
Yeah.
If it's bad, yes, you can now be pessimistic.
Hello, good evening to you. I'll call us back if you can. All right. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good evening to you. All right. Well, the phone lines will probably give it a bit of time to get itself properly. But in the meantime, Arsenal says, so the coach of our national female team is having two jobs and has gathered six losses so far. Imagine if any of our local team coach tries this. It's hypocritical of our sports administrators. Good evening, guys. As far as I'm concerned, for the Super Falcons, we're just going there to make up the numbers. I have zero mind in any result they'll be coming forth with. The signs of failure have been written all over Randy right from when he took the Super Falcons to the African Women's Championship. But we failed to do the needful of doing away with his type. And here we are, taking him to a world tournament? Let's just zero our mind, though. That's all I will talk. Dennis from VI says, good evening and happy weekend to you all. Thank you very much. Good evening, Tony, and the other guys in the studio. I'm Okwemi from Akute. Burundi is not the national team. We defeated last, but Cameroon in the quarterfinal of the concluded Alcon. Thanks. Yes, thank you very much for that one. Keep your messages coming and we'll take them. In the meantime, 10 p.m. later tonight, the deadline for the takeover. Well, not particularly takeover. The deadline for every bid. If you want to.
It's like a soft deadline. It's not like the deadline. But, you know, the...
For the Rain Group, who are in charge of facilitating the takeover, you have to send in your bid tonight before 10 p.m.
You're excited.
And after 10 p.m., we will know who the true fighters, or you'd say competitors, contenders are, as far as this club is concerned. Well, definitely parties interested in purchasing Manchester United from the Glazers will submit their bids before 10 p.m. tonight, as the Rain Group's deadline is. Qatar are considered front runners for the takeover, but of course face rival interest from Sir Jim Ratcliffe, the United States, and Saudi Arabia. Rain Group, the U.S. merchant bank, enlisted to sell the club and will begin sorting through offers once the deadline strikes as the process moves forward. Some investors seem to think the Glazers are about to complete a big money sale of United after the club's share price in New York soared by almost 10% on Wednesday. We heard that report, and adding at about over £200 million to the valuation of Manchester United. Their shares rose on Wednesday by at about 10%, which is very huge. But we hear Qatari investors will be confident. We hear they are confident in winning this bidding war that could reach up to £6 billion. They've already drawn out a plan to redevelop Old Trafford, United's training ground, and the city of Manchester. There are also understood to be interest from China and Singapore, but the primary candidates in the frame will become clear beyond the 10 p.m. mark on Friday evening.
Maybe, but I don't know. But once again, it's not up to me, but my job is, I have I'm responsible that the team is performing. I don't know, potentially, maybe, but I don't know. But once again, it's not up to me, but my job is I'm responsible that the team is performing.
Well, the voice of that man, Erik ten Hag, reacting as regards the potential takeover getting closer and closer. And he says, for me, I concentrate on footballing matters. Yes, the leadership of the club carry me along. The players are also psychologically ready for whatever might come. But I'm interested in what happens on the pitch of play. And yesterday we saw some good performances at the Camp Nou as they get ready for Leicester City this weekend. Alex, this is almost here. 10 p.m. tonight, we'll know those who are really serious about taking over the club. We're here at the moment. The Qataris are front runners.
Yeah.
Last week, Friday, I talked about something which could be an issue. The QSI, who actually owns PSG, will not be able to buy Manchester United, giving UEFA rules as regards the same owner having two clubs in the same competition. Yeah. So it's looking like they will find a way to reroute that deal to ensure that it's independent from the QSI, which is most often than not independent, given that many of the takeovers go through the QSI.
No, but there's an explanation for that. Let me
All right, brilliant.
So the QSI will not be buying United directly.
All right.
But it's going to be another set of investors linked with the Qatar royal family that are interested in buying the club. The other way to look at it, because Jim Ratcliffe also owns Nice. And in the event that Nice qualify for the Champions League, they can also face Manchester United. So there's still a lot of things to work around. But for the Qatar family, that's how it's going to be. So another set of investors linked with the Qatar family will purchase the club. So the ownership or the hierarchy would be different from the hierarchy at PSG, basically, if a sale is made.
All right, brilliant. Good clarification as regards that. But Alex, where do you see this one going?
Well, I think it swings in favor of United. And I think that at the end of the deal would come through. The club will be handed over to new bodies. Good for United, because I mean, the people coming in, lots of money to spend. And I think the only people who will be worried and scared will be the teams that are playing in the Premier League with United, because they would look to build a competitive team. And I think the owners of Newcastle, they've stressed that this season they just want to qualify for the Champions League, and if they do that this season, I tell you something, Newcastle will go all out, looking for big names to sign just to strengthen their squad and make them look like a, team that can possibly challenge for the title. For United, I've heard many people say that they don't want the deal to go through. But, I mean, that's just coming from a sad point. It would be good for United to get that. But, again, what happens from then on is left to be, is the question and left to be seen. Because, I mean, when Boehly bought Chelsea, I know we knew that money was going to be spent. We knew that, the investments were coming quick by splashing the cash and buying players. But ever since he became the owner of Chelsea, we've not seen a, major turnaround for the club. I know it's still early days. I mean, a lot of people expected, good turns with the signings, with the players being bought in. But, fuel on Fufu was the highlight the last time Chelsea played a football game.
Anyways, let's also talk about this man who is in the form of his life.
The hero is wary. Has set a largish wall. It's dead straight. No angle to work with. Marcus Rashford. Oh, glorious! That is a special one. For distance, power, accuracy, and indeed significance, Marcus Rashford can count that amongst his best.
Well, talking about Wembley, he will be at Wembley in a couple of days against Newcastle. in the final of the Carabao Cup. But that man, that boy, is the latest footballing sensation, you'd say, at the moment. And lots of talks. Alex, you're not supposed to speak until I say
no. No, but I admire Rashford, right? Because I remember...
I've not even asked...
but I love him. Anybody who knows me knows that I love Marcus Rashford. I think that he picked up his footballing style of play from me.
From you?
Yeah, from me. You know, when you watch the way I finish with my left foot, my right foot.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ because a couple of Fridays ago, I watched
Alex play.
And
he was terrible.
A couple of Fridays ago, I was suffering from fatigue. You know, I wasn't game fit. But last week Friday, you can ask the guys. I scored 6 goals, and it wasn't nothing to me. You know, 6 goals is normal for me.
You've got the physique of Marcus Rashford, Joe.
I'm a brilliant footballer. Tony, don't hit the player.
Anyways, well, there being several talks about the man, by the fans, you'd say fans who are potentially triggered, and genuinely so. He's equaled his best ever season tally record of 22 goals with that goal scored at Camp Nou yesterday. I did put this on my Twitter page, The Voice of Lagos, and I did ask, what does Marcus Rashford need to do to win the next Ballon d'Or? Is he at that level? Could he be at that level? And to be honest, the comment on that post was very funny. And I said, I will bring that to radio, and I'll get to hear what you think about that. All right, when we come back, we'll also talk about some of the games to look forward to this weekend. Get to hear from the gladiators as Arsenal, Chelsea, City, Manchester United, and, of course, action in the Italian Serie A, back home in the MPFL. But get ready for a weekend of great action, aren't we? All right, stick around, people. More right here. Well, the man, Marcus Rashford, reacting to... the referee's call of not sending off Jules Koundé after that challenge in the Europa League yesterday. You know, saying I had no reason to go down. It was a foul. It was a red card. I don't know what the referee was doing. It was a very controversial game where both teams felt they should have had one call, especially the penalty call for Barca, for Man United. Potential red card for Jules Koundé after a challenge on Marcus Rashford. But talking about that man, 16 games, 14 goals, 4 assists. He's only failed to score in 3 games since the resumption of football after the World Cup. He's equaled his best ever record in the top flight, 22 goals, a record which he established in 1920. That's 2019-2020. Now he's equaled it, and it's only what? It's only February 17. Well, fans are talking tough, and they believe this man is currently in the form of his life. And they feel like, hey, he's got a shot if he continues this way. Hadavai, what does Marcus Rashford need to do to win the Ballon d'Or? Is it? I mean, this conversation, many will say, oh, it's too early. How will you bring the Ballon d'Or now? But it's a conversation that fans will have whether you like it or not. It's a reality of a player who is playing a football we have not seen in a very long time, especially the consistency.
Yes, like you said, fans will bring it up, but I still think it's a bit premature. Here's why. Rashford has 22 goals. Yes, perfect. Brilliant, actually. But his game hasn't still reached the heights. I'll explain why. So, now his scoring goals are plenty. He has gotten, 22 goals in all competitions this season. But you see that he's like a moments player. So he has certain moments in a game where he impacts. For you to get to the level of being potentially a Ballon d'Or winner, you need to have a lot more moments in games. Yesterday's game, he could have scored a hat-trick. He missed a clear chance. Poor decision making when he had another chance, And that all-round facet isn't there yet. And if you, another thing is his creativity has also dropped. So the thing with Rashford is he hasn't combined that creative edge with his finishing. So it's either he's a complete finisher, killer striker, or he's that creative guy. In 2020, Ole's second season, he had a ton of assists, double figures in assists. And that creative side hasn't been seen this season. So there's a lot of things he has to work on. Creativity on the ball, because most times these days he wants to score, he doesn't pass the ball as much, because you know when you're obviously when you're hot you need to go for goal, but that creative side isn't there yet. And also the ability to be at 100% or close to 100% all through the game, he hasn't mastered that yet. He has his moments, good, fine, fantastic, but to be at a world-class level, at a Ballon d'Or like level, you need to maintain a consistency, that consistency over 90 minutes of play. You need to be that guy anytime, any day. He hasn't gotten there yet, but he's on track. 16, 14 goals in 16 games this season is been since the turn of the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, but he needs to be more consistent. And Ten Hag mentioned this. I think he's lucky that he's working under Ten Hag, because at the start of the season, Ten Hag mentioned that he's one of the guys that could hit 20 goals. That's 22. And record gone.
Alrighty.
So he's going to, he's only going to get better. More players also to help him, because this season it has just been him. He has 22 goals. Bruno is next with 7. Martial plays in and out. Anthony
miles,
here and
miles
there.
Ahead of.
So he doesn't even have the help he needs. When he has more players of that level of quality, we could even see him do a lot more. So the signs are good. He just needs to keep doing what he has been doing, you know, and do better. I hope for, as a United fan, I hope he reaches, you know, crazy levels, but he just needs to take it, you know, a game at a time. I don't want to force him into any conversation at this point, just a game at a time. Because funny thing is, he had those heights when he was 18 years. He was crazy when he was 18. Scored on his Europa League debut, Premier League debut. I think Manchester Derby debut. So he was that guy. But last season, 5 goals in all competitions, terrible. So he's just coming back into what he used to be. We just need to give him time and see where he leads.
All right, we'll see where that leads. Talking about Arsenal, one man, Mikel Arteta, says we are in that journey. We want to be there. The team is highly motivated after that demotivating result against Manchester City. The big question is, did that match tell us the entire story of Arsenal's naivety in a title race? Is it a signifier that maybe Arsenal are just not there yet, especially with how that game panned out? Big talk. Stick around, people. Let's get to hear from the man who leads the park, Mikel Arteta. And when we come back, we'll hear from Alex and you on the flip side of the radio.
But the level of efficiency has to be extremely good in every single ball to beat them at the end. But we are in that journey, we want to be there. I'm going to repeat myself, but the team is highly motivated, because just in case they didn't see it on the pitch or they didn't feel it after the game because of the result, I showed them yesterday. Well, I've seen it with my eyes in 2 games. The minimum is that today they train exceptionally well. That's the minimum. But for sure, when you analyze the game again, I think that we lost it. In the game, the way they supported, helped and inspired the team. Obviously, there was an incident at the end that obviously the club or nobody is going to tolerate in our stadium, and the club is investigating that issue. Get maximum points that we did in the last 3 games, and we have to look at ourselves as well. We have to be more efficient for the amount of play and situation we have generated. We haven't had enough points, and that's down to us, and we have to improve that because we want to win more games.
All right, well, there you go. Mikel Arteta.
Let the man speak.
He's speaking, and really, what a game that was, guys. Quickly, yeah. You know, is that game a signifier of Arsenal's naivety in a title chase, especially with City?
You see
game in hand.
Yeah, they have a game in hand, and if they win, they go back 3 points ahead. But you see that there is a difference between City and Arsenal, and there is a difference between an experienced title-winning side and a team who is just, you know, looking to fight their way to their first Premier League trophy since 2003-04 season. It was clear in the game against City. I think I like the way that they pulled themselves back and got that equaliser. But again, when City got the second goal, you just saw Arsenal fading away in bits in that game. And, you know, it was all City. And when that third goal did hit the back of the net, you know, you knew it was game over. So, yeah, like Arteta rightly said, they would look for ways to finish off games, you know, when they are riding on a high, in moments when they are good in games. I saw them play some good football against Manchester City, but it didn't just create quite the good number of chances you expect Arsenal
They were really naive in that game.
Yeah, and that's why I said the difference in the two sides. It was clear, and it showed on that day. And the way City took their chances and scored their goals, it wasn't just the same. And I think the performance level for Arsenal has dropped since that 1-0 defeat to Everton.
And, actually, you know, since the 3-2 victory to Man United.
Yeah. But I mean, I think we saw the low when they lost to Everton, and you know, ever since then the recovery process hasn't been good for Arsenal and Arteta. But Aston Villa, well, can pose something of a threat to Arsenal. But I think you know, a win there would put them back in the conversation, and you know, fight on as the season progresses.
All right. It's a good opportunity, really. Good competition Arsenal would have against Aston Villa at Villa Park. They face their former manager, Unai Emery, who these days is the commander-in-chief leading the park and looking quite decent, although he's lost his last two games. But there's still that hope and belief that his team will be able to compete against a really, really quality Arsenal side. 0700-993-993-993. Does Arsenal have enough in their tank for a title chase? Before that, we've got our friend from Cubana Whiskey speaking to us this evening. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, love is in the air and Cubana Whiskey is ready for it. Wherever there is a connection, whether it's between two people who have spent decades together, a couple just getting started, or those in the stage of hello and just getting to know you know, one another, Cubana Whiskey is always available. Cubana Whiskey celebrates families, partnerships, friendships, and everything that defines love and loyalty this month. So as you make those memories this season, make the celebrations complete with Cubana Whiskey. Do not forget, Cubana Whiskey is made with the finest ingredients and carefully stored in a classic bottle for the confident man or woman, and can be enjoyed wherever, whenever, and however you want it. Cubana Whiskey is absolutely compatible with other mixers, and this means you can enjoy it straight or mixed. It's your taste, your choice. And here's the interesting part: as you celebrate love this season, take a photo or make a video of you and your family or friends enjoying a bottle of Cubana Whiskey, post it on Instagram, and join Love in a Bottle Challenge on Instagram, and you could win yourself some cool cash. Check our Instagram handle at Cubana Whiskey for more details. I'll spell that out for you: at Cubana Whiskey at Cubana Whiskey on Instagram. Cubana Whiskey is registered with NAFDAC and available at all ShopRite outlets, Adamart, Spa, and Just Right outlets. Also available in markets at Niger 1 and Niger 3 Trade Fair Complex, Lagos Market in Mushi, off in Lane, Idumata, and all markets where good drinks are sold. Follow Cubana Whiskey on all social media platforms at Cubana Whiskey. as you may, on Instagram. Cubana Whiskey is for everyone, but do not take this one, because this is not for pregnant women or persons under the age of 18. Drink responsibly.
Oh, definitely. You have to do that. Many thanks to our friends at Cubana Whiskey. Well, that's getting a couple of your calls, but without hearing the voice of this man.
And our target, our objective, don't change. When I arrived here, we were at the bottom. We progressed. 2 weeks ago, before the match against Leicester, we were very excited at the possibility to be in the top 10, the possibility to get... The position in the table close to play in Europe next year, but really the target is the same before the match against Leicester, and of course after two matches we lost confirm our target. Our target is try this year first to escape of the bottom. We are not yet, and try to add points, trying to be the top 10, and of course if we can couch some teams, we are going to do it.
All right, there you go, the voice of Unai Emery reacting ahead of that game against Arsenal. 0700 993 993 993. Call us up and share your thoughts as we look forward to a very good weekend. Lots of games to look forward to, though. Aston Villa, Arsenal, Chelsea, Southampton, who have got a new man, by the way, who will be leading them for that game at the Bridge. Nottingham Forest, Manchester City, Newcastle, Liverpool, and Man United, Leicester, who, by the way, now have a new director of football. David Harrison, formerly of Everton, what have I? So I say, why are you taking someone from Everton who are struggling to Man United?
Of the fact that if there's a new, when the takeover is completed,
yeah,
he might be relieved of his
time. Come on.
But to be fair, taking someone from Everton isn't such a bad thing now.
Especially if he's skilled at his
job. Yes, we've seen Premier League management move around different clubs. We've gotten a couple of players, a couple of people also from Everton over the years. So it's a good one for United.
All right, let's see who's talking to us. Hello, good evening to you. Hello? All right, call us back if you can. 0700 993 993. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, the voice.
You're welcome. Talk to us quickly.
Yeah, let me talk about Man United and Rashford. Let me forget about the other club that they will come after you.
Quickly.
Hello?
Yeah, we're with you.
Since Ronaldo left, Rashford has scored more goals than he has scored in the full season of last season and the half season of this season when Ronaldo was with them. I keep on saying it. If Ronaldo is still with Man United, Rashford will not score to 5 goals at this moment. The problem of Rashford was Ronaldo. If Ronaldo did not start the season with Rashford, Rashford will be competing with Haaland in the higher goal scorer chart in the Premiership.
All right.
But see, I want those who love Ronaldo more than United, those who call themselves my United fans, to call now and say that it is good that Ronaldo left, or if Ronaldo has stayed with United.
Right.
Thank you very much, Eddie Boy.
All right, thank you very much. For the records, news from Tottenham Hotspur, we hear that Antonio Conte will still be out after the surgery. He needs time to rest.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is Amaka from Ojo.
Amaka, you're welcome. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. It's been long. I've not heard you in comments. What happened?
Me?
Yeah.
Maybe you probably haven't been when I'm on. You probably haven't listened when I'm on, all right?
All right.
Yeah.
I want to ask if you guys will air this thing under 20...
No, we would, but we'll bring you all
we'll
the updates.
Keep you updated. Follow all the games.
Okay, please, one more thing.
Yes, please.
Last week, I saw them two managers this show, so I won a carton of Cubana, but I was not supposed to pick it up today, but because of the this crisis all over today, he
unrest.
Didn't go out to work today, so I don't know.
Okay, no, next week, Friday, all right?
All right. Thank you. Remember me, the voice.
Amaka. Yes, I do.
All right. Don't worry.
He doesn't remember
Alex.
You.
Alex, you go drink Gary.
No,
No, just to put this out there, Amaka, I don't know why you feel so confident that the boy remembers you.
Try not to shalai.
He doesn't remember you. I can give you that for free. And for those of you waiting for me to drink, Gary, on live radio, it won't happen. Because I know Javi Hernandez will not disappoint.
It's live radio and we also have video coverage. I know there will be video coverage.
I have the power to spice the Gary, right? I can put what
you
I want.
Anything you want.
No, it's not part. That's not part. That's not part of the game because...
You don't know what you're talking about.
The dare is drink Gary on...
No, drink Gary on national...
He can decide to give you Gary and granite, he can also decide to give you Gary with a sprinkle of whatever.
If you put pepper in the Gary, I'm not eating the Gary.
Why not? I'm eating the Gary.
You'll pay fine.
See, that bowl is very big, so we're going to, according to his discretion, he values the bowl at 50,000.
I mean, the fact that you guys are putting this thing in Tony's advantage. Because when he switches, it will not be funny.
In case you haven't caught up with our Dare video, myself and Alex predicting Dare, it's on Twitter, and we are going head-to-head, Man United, Barcelona, ended 2-2 in the first leg. Second leg is Thursday. After that, whoever loses will drink Gary live on the broadcast.
It's going to be on Friday.
It's going to be hot. You don't want to miss it. Go to Twitter and check out the videos so you know that we're not playing. We don't play.
I'll pick my ingredients myself.
All right, let's see. I think we've got Busaya. Hello, Busaya.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you. We have 60 seconds. Talk to us quickly.
All right, I just wanted to talk about Arsenal. You know, I think what happened yesterday, I'm an Arsenal fan, but what happened yesterday is the difference between, you know, champions and pretenders, like tattoo champions and pretenders. I still feel Arsenal is like, you know, pretending to give us this idea that they are champions. But, you know, so if you guys remember, like I used to say, if Arsenal is going to win the Premier League, they have to face Manchester United, Manchester City twice, and Liverpool, because I feel these two teams in recent years have, you know, showed their ability, you know, to be winners. So I think if Arsenal wants to win, they don't have to hide. They have to come out and, you know, beat these people. So if you can't do that, you know, I still feel you're pretenders. But I wouldn't say the guys are not trying.
All right.
I feel there's a new dynasty and it's going to be probably, you know, coming into fullness when it comes to next season.
Let's see how it goes. All right. Thank you very much, Busaya Damilola. But just like I tweeted sometime, you don't win the Premier League by just beating City or Liverpool. Actually, you win the Premier League by beating the smaller boys, in quote. That is the real deal. So, Arsenal can afford not to win against City and still win the Premier League. Very, very, very possible. All right, let's go for the short timeout. When we come back, it'll be our final dash on the broadcast. We'll probably come to say our byes and read a couple of your messages via WhatsApp. Stick around.